Bird's Eye View is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com. BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
Alright, and welcome back to Bird's Eye View. This is your official source for lack of insight and for baseless opinion. Today is January 6, 2014. My name is Jake English, and here to show me how it's done is Scott Magnus. This is episode 62, and you can find us at birdseyeviewbaltimore.com. Also, you can hear the show at the BaltimoreSportsReport.com/network, as we are a proud member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. You can find the show on iTunes. You can also connect with the show on Facebook, Google+, at Twitter, at Bird's Eye View, B-A-L. And you can hear the show in a bunch of other places like Miro, Stitcher, and some programs that Scott will make up later. Two quick pieces of business that I want to get out of the way. The first is the Amazon banner at the top of birdseyeviewbaltimore.com. Do us a favor if you need to get something anyway. Go ahead and click on through, and that helps us keep the lights on here at the show. Scott, in addition to being a proud member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network, you know that Bird's Eye View is listed at baseballpodcast.net, correct?
You don't say. We really are?
We were, Scott.
Oh, we were.
You see, baseballpodcast.net went through a name change. It's actually baseballtalkradio.com at this point, and it is a great source for all sorts of passionate baseball programs.
So wait, that's baseballtalkradio.com?
Yes, it's baseballtalkradio.com.
Okay.
What is this, like an ad or something? BaseballTalkRadio.com. BaseballTalkRadio.com. Anyway, it's a great source.
BaseballTalkRadio.com.
It's a great source for, as Rich, the guy that runs it, passionate internet shows about baseball. There's a lot of teams represented there, as well as great other things like baseball fantasy, as well as the Cooperstown Hall of Fame official podcast is there. So we absolutely encourage you to check it out. It's a great resource to get out of town. Just baseball news, but also, you know, hey, if we've got a series coming up against the Red Sox, go check out Red Sox Alley, which is their Boston show, and you know, do a little scouting yourself.
I've already submitted their podcast to the NSA, so they'll be in contact.
You're assuming that the NSA isn't listening to this already.
That's
actually
true.
The NSA might be our only listener.
Yeah, it's probably true.
Hello, gentlemen. Nice to see you again.
I'm ready for my cavity search.
All right, before this goes any further, or perhaps the way this should be, why don't you go through the drink of the week?
All right, so my drink of the week this week is a Rittenhouse rye whiskey mixed with a little bit of Coca-Cola Classic.
That sounds really nice. Let me tell you a little bit about my drink of the week. My drink of the week is not here.
Okay.
See, usually we record from my palatial estate, but tonight, a little different. We are actually doing our first show from the new SD Studios. And so I managed to leave
Standard Definition Studios.
No, see, my co-host Scotty Too Hottie bought a beautiful new house, and it was a room in the basement, which was going to serve as our studio. Unfortunately, as I approached the room, it kind of looked like it might've been a sex dungeon.
There's a good chance of that. There's a one tiny little window to give you light, and there are some chains hanging from the walls.
It really does give you that it puts the lotion on the skin or else it gets the hose again feel. So we have officially christened it the Sex Dungeon Studios.
So we will be broadcasting from SD Studios in the future as well.
Here's the thing, Scott. You and I switch off on the intros. Let's not make a mistake. Please don't ever say live from SD Studios, because nobody hears this live. Ever.
That's not true.
It's a podcast.
Our wives hear it.
Yeah, but that's against their will, kind of like whatever else goes on in SD Studios.
Well, I'll show you something against your will later tonight.
Oh, my. Okay, so nice that we bookended the ad for baseballtalkradio.com with the sex dungeon discussion. We were talking about the drink of the week.
Yeah, we're going to talk to Josh Rocha and also Charlie Hopps, and I'm going to hold stuff against their will, too. So Jesus. I like to hold things against them, okay?
Anyway, I left all of my fantastic drinks that I was planning on bringing sitting on my dining room tables. And so I'm enjoying whatever else you had left in the fridge from your son's birthday party. And I'm enjoying, this evening, a fine Bud Light Lime.
Well, only the finest in the Magnus household.
Whew, that's it's an adventure. Anyway, cheers. Thanks for that.
It's like summer in a bottle.
It's something. I'll give you that much. It's got...
Just like Corona.
Stop it. What do you say we open the twat?
All right, let's go to the twat. So, Jake, what did you come across in this week on the Twitter?
Well, there were a couple things this week on the Twitters. First, we have to address the fact that Ravens season came to an end.
Wah, 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 wah.
And it was a mixed bag. I mean, there was a lot of anger, but there were also some more level-headed people that said, all right, you know, thanks for the 5 years of playoff football. We'll you know, go back and get them next year.
Yeah, it's more just the aspect of, I'm not sure deep disdain is the word, but just the aspect of disappointment from not being able to see a playoff. Again, I think it's become so accustomed in Baltimore that to not have it in January, it kind of leaves a empty hole in January.
I mean, is it fair to say that we're spoiled?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, I you know, I knew that it was going to be tough.
This is what Yankees fans must feel like.
Stop it. I do not like that. No, I have often compared what we're going through now with the Ravens to what the Eagles had to do with at the turn of the century, if you will, the early aughts, where they made that NFC Championship game, you know, it seemed like forever, and then, boom, one day it was gone. At least we got a Super Bowl out of the deal. So, yes, we addressed the...
And we never had Andy Reid.
That's true. Although that mustache was fantastic. Yeah. Anyway, so the Ravens season came to an end. Then there was some talk about the Orioles' quiet offseason. I've done my own bit of complaining, as I'm sure you're aware. But there's a great tweet from Orioles Uncensored that I wanted to go through real quick. Orioles Uncensored is a great program. It's an Oriole podcast based out of the D.C. area, and we definitely encourage you to check them out. And so
Orioles... The only thing good out of the D.C. area.
At Orioles Uncensored writes, "Hey, O's, I'm trying to run a website and conduct a podcast. Give me something new, or I'll revert to talking about how Angelos is the devil." Frankly, I think that's a solid tweet. Well tweeted. I of course responded that if we didn't, we would just be dedicating our podcast to a comparative analysis of subspecies of tumbleweed.
Frankly, I didn't realize that Orioles Incentive would work for WNST.
Stop it. That's not nice. The other thing from the Orioles that we saw was the Quinton Berry signing.
Woohoo!
Yeah. And Matt Taylor at Roar from 34, again, another great Orioles source to go to, said, tweeted out, "O's signed pinch runner," as he retweeted Hardball news announcement of the signing. And I thought that was pretty apropos.
Yeah. It's basically an LJ Ho's replacement for Adam Jones.
Yeah, he's not going to be anything. I mean, I saw somewhere else on the Twitter, and I really apologize because I should have written it down, but somebody else said, "Oh, it's our ninth left fielder." That's basically where we are right now.
True.
We've got quantity over quality of left fielders.
Norfolk says thank you.
Yeah, right. And then some of the other things on the Twitters this week, you've heard a lot about the Hall of Fame voting.
And that'll be announced on Wednesday, who gets in and who gets out.
But, you know, certain writers will release their results beforehand, or they'll let you know which way they're leaning. There's one guy, Murray Chass, who I'd never heard of before, but he was getting all sorts of hate. Can you enlighten me in any way, shape, or form?
Sure. So Murray Chass is a well-known journalist in baseball. He's actually in the Hall of Fame. He has been writing since the 1960s. He graduated from the University of Pittsburgh.
Uh-oh.
He studied political science.
Only jerks study political science.
Didn't you study political science?
Shh, keep reading.
Okay. He worked at the Pittsburgh News, and then he worked at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Okay. And then he went to join the New York Times in 1969.
I don't like where this is going.
And then the following year, he followed the New York Yankees.
Ah.
He has written several books, including The Yankees, The Four Fabulous Eras of Baseball's Most Famous Team, And he's also written the book, The Pittsburgh Steelers, The Long Climb. And he is a noted baseball traditionalist who has lamented sabermetrics, giving quotes such as, certain topics that should be off limits and statistic mongers promoting BORP and other new age baseball statistics are a blight on the game. And another quote, they undermine most fans' enjoyment of baseball and the human factor therein.
Wow. So basically, he's the old school establishment when it comes to baseball writers, and it's these up and coming sabermetricians that are rebelling against him. Is that what I'm seeing?
What I'm saying is, if Jake was born in 1940 in Pittsburgh, this would have been Jake English.
No, that's not true. I don't think sabermetrics are a blight on the game. I think that the pendulum has swung too far into statistical analysis, but they absolutely are incredibly valuable, and I think that they enrich a lot of fans' experience of the game.
All right, that's enough. Get off my lawn.
All right, last thing that I want to talk about for this week on the Twitters was back to football, something I saw. You know, we're in a situation now where there are a lot of NFL playoff games that are in blackout trouble, where their own team, you know, the own city's fans are having a difficult time buying enough tickets.
Green Bay, Indianapolis, and Cincinnati were examples of this.
Yeah, and it's very easy to get on our high horse and say that would never happen here in Baltimore, but look at Camden Yards for 14 years. Anyway, at Matt Snyder CBS tweeted out, imagine the, quote, baseball is dying, end quote, narratives if 75% of LDS games didn't sell out. And I thought that was so spot on.
It's very well said.
I'm obviously a baseball first guy. I love football, but I'm a baseball first guy, and I'm so sick of hearing that the game is dying out or its fans are aging or what have you. Because I do think the game is alive and strong, and, you know, this he couldn't have tweeted any better.
Nope, it's a perfect tweet for the week to encompass both NFL closing out for us and baseball season beginning.
With that, Scotty, speaking of new beginnings, this is our first podcast in the new year, and I thought maybe we could do our best to ring in that new year, and well, we'll see where that gets us. Scott, what do we have going on here?
Just a celebration going into the new year.
Scott, nobody has any idea what song this is.
No more champagne.
Oh, jeez.
The fireworks are through.
All right, so we're going to go into a little celebration of the new year. We're going to talk about 2014 for the Baltimore Orioles. And, you know, Zach over at Baltimore Sports Report wrote an article about his personal 2014 New Year's resolutions, and it kind of got me thinking about, as Baltimore Oriole fans, what can we do? What can we resolve to in order to improve our own experience in the 2014 season? So, Scott, I put together a couple of things. You put together a couple of things. Let's talk real quick about our 2014 Orioles New Year's resolutions.
All right, bring it, Jake. What's your first New Year's resolution?
My first resolution is to listen to more games on the radio. There's something beautiful about baseball on the radio that's unlike listening to any other sport on the radio. It's almost as if it were designed for that medium, and I don't take advantage of it often enough.
Okay. One of mine is to build a relationship with a beer vendor. I always see Clancy walking up and down the aisles and people saying, oh, hi, Clancy. I want to have that beer vendor where he can come up into my section and say, that guy wants a winking beer, pops it open, hands it to me, and then says, give me back my $9 that's going to cost me for that beer.
See, at first when I saw you say build a relationship with a beer vendor, I was afraid there was going to be a stalking, you know, thing going on.
Well, there will be, but...
Okay, so the restraining order is going to be in play?
At the end of the season, yes.
All right, fair enough.
We'll have to switch sections at that point.
You know, we did just switch sections. We're going to have a new home for the 2014 season.
Yes, we'll make an announcement at a later date.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, my second resolution is to stop and smell the roses when I'm at the ballpark.
There are no roses at the ballpark. I'm just pointing that out.
I love Camden Yards. When I walk into that building, I'm suddenly 8 years old again, and I just love everything about it. But I feel like, you know, especially now with the kids and all this other stuff, I'm in such a rush to get there. Or if I leave work to go to the ballpark, I'm rushing and I'm not really, you know, stopping just taking in all of the sights and sounds of the ballpark. So I'm really going to try to slow myself down at Camden Yards and just really enjoy this wonderful stadium that we've got.
Savor that it's one of the greatest stadiums in all of Major League Baseball.
Absolutely.
All right, my second resolution for this year is I would like to make friends with the usher of our new section.
I'm sorry, so you're just going to rub up on everybody at the ballpark? Is that what's going
on here?
What can
I say? I'd like to build relationships and grind up against a few new people.
Yikes.
So I think I know who our usher is for our section. I think we've had an encounter with him before.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I think you might have told him off before.
Yeah.
You think you know who I'm talking about, don't you? I'm pretty sure that's our usher. So I'm going to get in really good with him.
Somebody ought to.
Yeah. So I'm going to make friends with him this year. That's my goal. I'm not sure exactly how I'm going to do it, but I'm going to be friends with him.
Okay, my next resolution, I'm going to take each of my children to a baseball game, just the two of us, one-on-one. I took my son Henry, who was two at the time, to the last ball game of the season, and it only lasted 4 or 5 innings. And while we were there, the Orioles were getting creamed, but it was just such a great day, just he and I. And I know that he'll enjoy it even more next year, and my daughter will also enjoy it. So, you know, it's the dad thing. I think next year, definitely one game each, at least, of the kids, just one-on-one.
To be fair, they came back and won that game.
They did. That only happened because we left.
Yes. My next resolution is I wanted to start a chant that became a thing at Camden Yards, kind of similar to what Seven Nation Army was back in the day. I want to have a chant where people can come into the stands and say, oh, that chant's very easy to remember. Okay. And I think I can do that.
All right. I like that.
Oh, and it's not going to be offensive.
Something you say loudly at a ballpark is not going to be offensive?
To most people, yes.
Okay. We'll see how that goes.
It's got to be catchy for the kids.
All right. My next one I've actually stolen, and we'll talk to this gentleman in just a bit. If you listen to the Baltimoreans podcast, you will find that Sam Dingman is a big proponent of scoring baseball games. And so I won't take up any more of your time talking about it because I'm sure he'll do it later. But I want to score at least one ball game a month just to get back into that. That's something I used to do a lot as a kid.
Okay. In regards to starting the chant, I'm also going to reframe from rooting for terrorism this year.
I love this resolution. Yeah. And frankly, I think that our wives will also love this resolution.
It's going to be really hard not to break on opening day, I think.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. I need you to be Boston strong, pal.
Yeah.
All right.
Hey, just remember, this is our effing city.
It is. Yeah. And it was that day as well.
Yeah. Boom goes the dynamite.
Oof. My next resolution is going to be to broaden my own familiarity with advanced baseball metrics. As we've discussed in the past, I'm not the biggest lover of sabermetrics, and you know, I don't have a complete ignorance of them, but I do want to dive a little bit deeper. I don't think I'll ever really accept that they're more important than what I can see with my own eyes. But I think for the purpose of conversation, I should be better about, you know, being more in the weeds with those advanced baseball metrics.
Okay. My next one is I wanted to go to a businessman's getaway, and that's a 12:35 afternoon game.
I love this idea.
Yeah.
Let me know when you're doing that, because that is a great, great thing.
Right.
I don't think I've ever done that.
Okay. Well, we'll have to do that together.
All right. My last resolution for 2014, this one's a little emotional for me. Yeah.
Not taking your kid to the ballpark or anything like that. This is the one that's emotional.
No, this is the one that hurts. Okay. In 2014, I'm going to make peace with a nemesis of mine.
Brian Roberts?
He's dead to me. I'm going to make peace with the downtown Hilton.
Wow.
The Soviet era architectural design, the big gray box that blocks out the skyline, so much of it, including the Brum Seltzer Tower, has been such a source of hate for me. But I'm going to at least admit that it's there, that it's not going away anytime soon. And if it's going to be there, I'm going to at least take advantage of its only benefits, which are rooms with awesome views of the ballpark. So for 2014, I'm going to spend a night in one of the ballpark view rooms at the downtown Hilton.
Okay. And my final resolution for this year is going to be, I'm always going to stay one step ahead of Jake. Oh, wait, I already did that last year.
Yeah, that's just a holdover for 2013, yeah, is it not?
It is. It's pretty much just a holdover.
Okay. Well, I think our listeners, both of them, are very comfortable with that arrangement. But Scott, your and my resolutions, we're just two tiny people in this crazy world. I really feel like we should find out how some other folks are feeling. What about some of our perhaps sister wives in this great sports podcast network that we've got? Why don't we get a few folks on the phone? All right, and we are now joined by Josh Schroka from the Section 336 podcast. Josh, before we go any further, can I ask you a question that it keeps me up at night?
Is it what is it?
Is it Section 336 or is it Section 336?
It depends in what point you ask us. So I lately we've been going with Section 336, but we've also been known to call it Section 336.
What does the goat say?
I haven't asked. That'll be a question for Matt. I avoid the goats.
That's a smart move. You're a good man.
Yeah.
All right.
They're not the cute goats that he's got.
They're mean and aggressive.
No, they're just real goats. They're not like cute and groomed and like play pet goats.
All right. Before we go any further into Scott's new obsession with your brother's goats, we brought you here actually to talk about the Orioles. Go figure. And any New Year's resolutions that you've got about the team and about being an Orioles fan in 2014.
Yeah, I think for a lot of Baltimore, the New Year's resolution is going to be just to come back to the Orioles. My New Year's resolution is starting January 1st, just a few days ago. I am trying to be positive about the Orioles because December was really bad, and it was easy to be negative through November, December.
That's interesting. You should probably listen to the show when it comes out.
All right. Well, then we've made it clear. We've mentioned on our show that we are all going to go to spring training for the first time this year.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So we're excited about that for the new year. And then the final New Year's resolution I've got for the Orioles is I'm going to support the minor league teams. We sit here and we talk about the farm system, and they're right down the street. I work across the street from the Bay Sox Stadium, and I haven't gone in it in 10 years.
Wow.
So I think it's time to go visit.
That's great. Yeah, the nice thing about Fallen Leos is that they have so many minor league affiliates that are so close. I know Scott and I, you know, are within a stone's throw of the Aberdeen Ironbirds Stadium, so we can certainly go up there. But really, you know, even for us up here in Harford County, it's not a big deal to get down there to Bowie or really a lot of the minor league affiliates.
No.
Here's a proposal I'll have for the Baltimore Sports Report Network is the Orioles do an Orioles passport where you basically get an Orioles passport if you visit all the locations for the minor league facilities. I suggest that we as Baltimore Sports Report Network go and visit all the facilities for the Orioles and finish out that Orioles passport.
That's completely doable.
And we, you know, we can split the T-shirt, you know, how many ever ways. You're going to be able to wear the T-shirt, you know, in the month of March. So good luck with that.
No. It's going to be like King Solomon when you split it right down the middle. Okay.
Oh, I say we take it a step further, and each show completes the passport.
Ah, there you go. That's a good idea.
I already went to Sarasota. I don't want to have to pay to go back.
Yeah, I don't think that's part of the passport.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
awesome.
It's just local people.
So Norfolk is as far as we have to go?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
All right, sounds like a deal.
It's all driving in distance.
All right, well, we will certainly be pulling up the rear in that department. Josh, thank you so much for joining us. What can you tell us about Section 336 coming up in the next couple weeks?
As sad and frustrated as we are that the Ravens season's over, we are excited that we get to talk Orioles again and get to focus our podcast on that. The past 2 weeks, we put out Oriole exclusive episodes, and it was so much fun just to talk Orioles. So even though it's January, we're excited to go back to Black and Orange.
Sure. Well, we look forward to hearing it. Again, that's the Section 336 podcast, the so-called Baltimore's best sports podcast that you can find on the Baltimore Sports Report Network as well as on section336.com.
Thanks, Josh.
All right. Thank you.
All right, time for some new resolutions, and we are joined by Zach Wilt, the grand poobah of the BSR network. He appears both in the written form over at BSR and is the host of the BSR podcast. Zach, thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, guys, it's a pleasure to be here with you, and Grand Poobah is on my new business card.
So. You really ought to look into that, and the hat is amazing.
It's all about the hat, really. It's all about the hat.
Well, thanks for spending a few minutes with us. We've been trying to break down some New Year's resolutions that we've made as Oriole fans and how we can best enjoy the 2014 season. And I was wondering if you could maybe share some of your wit and wisdom with us on that subject.
Absolutely. Yeah, this was something that that I did actually write about on BSR. So I sort of have my notes in front of me. So I'll go off of that. My first one is just that I want to see this franchise prove to me that they want the win right now. In 2013, personally, I went from a guy that that bought a lot of tickets on StubHub and eBay and walking up to a season ticket holder. So I'm now invested in the team financially, and I bought in after the nice postseason run that they put together.
And after the dynamic ticket pricing.
and now after them winning 85 games, and watching how things have unfolded this offseason, Nate McLaus signing with the Nationals, trading Jim Johnson to Oakland, the Grant Balfour deal falling apart. I want to see proof that ownership, that this team is invested in wanting to win right now with these guys that are currently on the roster. And the way things have gone, I know the offseason's not over. I'm just not sure that they've proven to me that they want to do that at this current time. So prove me wrong. That's my first one. That's what I want to see done.
You're in the show me state.
Absolutely.
Well, as a consolation prize for this new year, we're going to introduce you to one of the newest Orioles, and we're going to get you a Quinton Berry jersey for the upcoming year. It's going to say Norfolk across it, but it's going to say Berry on the back.
I like it.
Yeah. He'll be gone fast, so that's why we got him, right?
Yeah.
That's good. That and he's Adam Jones' best friend. So
he's the LJ Hose replacement, basically.
Yeah, nice. There you go. That's a good way. Speedy guy. Hey, he's been in back-to-back World Series. So, yeah.
Every streak's got to come to an end, right?
Everyone has to have a Willie Mays Hayes.
That's what I want to see. Prove to me that you're invested in winning right now. And my second resolution kind of goes hand in hand with that. Chris Davis and Matt Weers, you guys both know, both Scott Boras clients, both free agents after next season. I want to see them re-sign one of these guys in season now. I don't want to hear excuses about how Scott Boras doesn't let his clients sign in season, that Matt Weers' value is low. They need to invest in one of these guys. I'm asking for one of the two. I'm not even saying both. And I think that after watching what we saw from Chris Davis last season, he's probably the top candidate. It's not going to be cheap, but if the Birds want to keep their talent, which is their philosophy when Andy McPhail was here, they've got to keep their core and prove to me. It ties into my first one. Prove to me that you're interested in winning now. So I want to see one of these two guys locked up long term over the next 12 months.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, Zach. I actually posted an article on birdseyeviewbaltimore.com about this, and the room is there for 2014, and the room is also there for 2015. It's a great opportunity to go into the January arbitration meetings and say, we don't want to have to deal with arbitration for Matt Weiders and Chris Davis for the next 2 years. We want to sign these guys to long-term contracts. The money is there. It's just a question of if you tie up that money for Chris Davis and Matt Weiders, what else can the Orioles do?
And you talked about Scott Boras. Scott Boras will let his clients sign if the money's there.
Right, exactly.
Right. Yeah, see Jared Weaver, who signed a nice deal in Anaheim. So,
sure.
You're absolutely right. He will, and that's what I want to see. I'm not even asking for both. Give me one or the other, preferably Davis.
No, we get both, okay? No compromises.
All right,
Zach, if you had to lay one more quintessential Zach Wilt New Year's resolution when it comes to the Orioles, what would you hit us with?
I'm so terribly worried about Manny Machado's health after watching him go down with just a gruesome-looking leg injury that I swore was an ACL tear at the time. I do not want to see Manny Machado rush back. If that means, you know, he's got to miss the first month of the season, the first 2 months of the season, however long it takes. Do not rush Manny Machado back from this injury and risk him, you know, doing something, some more long-term damage to the leg.
So, well, this is why we got Jamal Weeks, right?
That's right.
Is it Jamal or Jamil? I always forget.
I'm going with Jamal.
Okay. Like Aunt Jamal?
Stick with Jamal.
So
if we all say one, we'll all stick with that.
If we're consistent on the network, I won't feel like an idiot. How's that?
Well,
Jamal it is.
Yeah, I do have an inside source, and my inside source has told me that Manny Machado will be perfectly fine this season. It happens to be my three-year-old daughter, and she keeps telling me that Manny's going to be fine, but I'm going to go with it. She's as accurate as a source as anybody out there, so Manny Machado will be fine, everybody, according to my three-year-old.
Sources, colon, Manny Machado to be fine, comma, I want a cookie.
Correct.
Well,
the future's too bright, though, guys. You can't rush Machado back and risk him re-injuring that leg. It's just not worth it. He's expected to take 4 to 6 months to rehab. Puts him on pace for around April. Just take your time. Take it easy with him. Be extra, extra cautious.
The Orioles have always been known to be patient with their prospects.
No, I agree with you, especially when you look at the fact that if you take this offseason and you look at what the strategy is for the Orioles, it's almost as if they've given up on improving the team in this season. And if you want to look at that for, oh, we're saving our money to keep Weeders and Davis next year, they haven't fought to make the club any better. And so if you're not going to bother to do that and the club wasn't good enough to make the playoffs last year, I wouldn't rush Manny Machado back because, well, you're not doing anything else anyway.
Exactly.
Well, it's a cheery prediction.
Yeah. Well, thanks very much for stopping by, Zach. Yeah, that was a really positive message to leave everybody with in Baltimore.
Okay, you try to find the silver lining in this offseason.
Right? Oh, you listen to this this episode when it comes out. We're going to do our damnedest.
Yeah.
All right, Zach, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. Thanks for all the help with the network, and thanks for joining us tonight on this celebration of what will be in 2014 for the Orioles.
Hey, my pleasure, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right, now it's time to hear from, frankly, the smartest of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. This is the the program that I go to for guidance. It's really how I check myself before I invariably wreck myself.
It's the NPR of the Baltimore Orioles.
It is.
Yes!
We are, of course, talking about Sam and Alan, hosts of Baltimoreans, a fine, fine program that we desperately beg you to go check out. Sam, Alan, how are you guys doing tonight?
Doing very well after that introduction.
Yeah, we're doing good, but Jake, we question your life choices.
I think that's it's a pretty standard setting.
If you're looking to us for advice, then well, forget that. Actually, maybe we should start charging hourly.
Look, we're Orioles fans here. We've got low standards.
Good point.
Well, we've brought you here to play a game we're calling 2014 New Year's Resolutions Orioles Edition.
Gosh, I really was hoping it was the Dan Duquette versus Donald Rumsfeld segment again.
No, I'm not sure I've tried to black all that out. We're trying to decide what we can do here in this beginning of 2014 that we as Orioles fans can resolve ourselves to when it comes to the Baltimore Orioles. So, Sam Allen, please take it away. What are your resolutions this year as Orioles fans?
Well, I was thinking about this wonderful assignment, and I felt like I kind of had two paths to go down. One of them was to try to come up with funny Orioles New Year's resolutions, and the other was to come up with sincere New Year's resolutions. And in the process of making that decision, I got depressed. So
you went with neither.
So I went with sincere because what happened is I realized that when I think sincerely about what I'm looking forward to this Orioles season, it's all of the stuff that I personally am going to get out of it because I know that there won't be anything on a competitive basis to get out of it.
Oh, my.
So the first thing that I would like to commit to doing as an Orioles fan in 2014 is to, as Jake, you and I have discussed, actually, is to keep score for one Orioles game every week in my new scorebook.
I love this idea. This is such a cool idea.
And I would actually like to invite any of the listeners to any of the shows on the Baltimore Sports Report Network who would like to get involved in this and maybe, you know, maybe swap some Instagrams of our scorecards after each game or something. Yeah. I think that could be kind of a cool thing. But the thing I really like about scorekeeping is that I feel like it necessitates this very deep focus on what you're watching, and it makes the experience of a particular game feel really special and momentary.
It's a oneness with the game, and it makes you a part of it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think it can be so easy as you're sitting there watching a game to feel like on a moment-to-moment basis, everything that's happening is really unique and really important. And then the game ends and it's Tuesday night and you've got to, you know, get ready for work the next day or put your kids to bed or whatever you're doing. And by the next day, you don't really remember what you've watched the night before. It just kind of fades into the general morass of the season. But if you keep score, you create this very special document of that night, that game, where you were, what was going on for you, and why you felt the things you were feeling on that evening.
So in summary for our audience, basically you sit down with a score pad, you get really drunk while doing this, and when you forget about what happened the previous night, you can go back and flip through your book to figure out what happened. But most of the stuff in the 7th, 8th, and 9th inning are really like just squiggly lines that you wrote down because you couldn't remember what was going on.
That is, you just put eyes and a mustache on the 9 in the 9th inning every time?
It's actually a mustache and a winking guy, okay?
That is almost completely accurate. My only correction is that I would say I get drunk before the game even starts. Okay. Because this is the 2014 Orioles we're talking about.
I just want to go back for a minute and say that I'm horrified at the idea that basically your Snapchat is a bunch of scorecards and dick pics.
Instagram. He doesn't do Snapchat yet.
No, but Snapchat is a wonderful idea.
All right, so keeping score intentional way. I like it.
What I like about that is that as more and more stadiums go the super wired route where they want you to be on your smartphones and they want to sort of like make it a multimedia baseball experience.
Not Camden Yards, but please continue.
Well, not Camden Yards yet. I guess that's more in basketball than it is in baseball so far. But we move in that direction.
What was that Sam sport Dingman you just mentioned?
Is putting his foot down and going the opposite direction as fast as he can.
Nice.
Which is not very fast, which is why I play neither basketball nor baseball.
Nice. All right, so intentional scoring is a fantastic New Year's resolution. What else do you have for us for resolving to follow the Orioles in 2014?
Well, I have resolved, as I was feeling more and more restless about the Orioles offseason, or lack thereof, I have resolved as much as I possibly can to allow Manny Machado, Dylan Bundy, and Kevin Gausman to, in my own heart, have the time they need to grow as players. Because I feel as though
that's very generous of you, Alan.
A lot of pressure on them. And they're going to have a lot of people sort of putting a lot of hopes and dreams on their backs very early and very often. And as much as I can, I'm going to try to lighten that load for them.
I'm sorry. I need a little bit of clarification here. Are you saying that you are going to lower your own personal hype and not get too deep into that? Or are you offering your soul as your own personal space time that they can enter to do their development?
I think he's actually offering his services for the Orioles. I think he's got a 93-mile-per-hour cutter ready to go, and I think he can play third base at the same time.
Sadly, not the last one, but either of the other two.
I feel like I just stepped into a Lewis Carroll novel. What happened here?
Well, I would like to say that Alan may not have a 93-mile-per-hour cut fastball, but he will talk to you at 93 miles per hour about the nation of cutter.
I just figured he's like Bugs Bunny playing pitcher, Bugs Bunny playing first base, Bugs Bunny playing third base.
I want to go back for that plus one pun. Well done.
Yeah.
I think that excuse me. I think that the Orioles Nation has decided, apparently, that we're not going to bring in any big name players. We're going to kind of play on the margins until these guys either are or are not the gentlemen that lead us to a World Series. And they are also, at the same time, 20 years old. And that, I mean, I can barely remember being 20 years old, but in my memory of it, I had no effing idea what was going on. And in my memory of it, I had, you know, I probably could have used some support. And I think that we as Orioles fans need to resolve to relax a little bit and let these guys be 20, at least for the first 15, 20 games of the season.
Okay, I understand that. But I also point out that Dylan Bundy, 23 years old, Manny Machado, 21 years old. And
so seasoned vets is what you're saying.
I'm saying is once you turn 21, you can drink alcohol. All expectations are right there. You have to make something happen.
It sounds like Scott Scott wants someone else to be able to develop in your heart. I'm going to move on. what else have you got for us as far as resolutions are concerned?
Well, one project that I would like to take on is listening to more podcasts by fans of other teams. I feel like Alan and I, and I don't know if this happens to you guys, but we get very involved with thinking about our podcast and the Baltimore Sports Report Network in general as a unique media community. Like, we're this very special, unique group of dudes with too much spare time and actually I shouldn't say dudes because Stacy at Camden Chat is also a very active member of the community. I don't want to presume there are no ladies in the mix, but I feel like it's very easy for me, at least, to assume that it's unique that we spend so much time doing this. And I think one of the coolest things about being a baseball fan in the modern era is that there are actually similar communities for teams like the Padres and the Twins and the Royals, which are teams that don't really get a whole lot of the limelight, but have just as vocal a community of people who are super dedicated to them. And for the most part, we're not really all talking to each other very much. So I would like to try to foster a little bit of that this year.
Well, Sam, this couldn't have been better timed. In addition to being part of the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Bird's Eye View is actually also listed on a site called baseballtalkradio.com, which is a collection of internet shows from around the country on many, many clubs. I don't think we've got all 30 covered at this point, but that's a great resource to go and find these shows to kind of get your feet wet into the community of each particular team that's on there. We also have podcasts from things like the Intentional Talk, the MLB show is rebroadcast on their podcast, as well as the Hall of Fame official podcast. So I definitely encourage you to check out baseballtalkradio.com.
For sure, yeah.
We could not have planned that any better, by the way. Thank you.
This was like it was scripted or something.
I'm just here to help, guys. Yeah. I really think it's a really special and unique thing about being both a baseball fan right now and a podcaster right now. We're able to, and you know, Alan was just mentioning social media, and I don't mean we're able to connect with each other in the kind of shallow way of like tweeting at each other, but we're able to connect with each other in this way of having extremely deep discourse with one another that we can all access very easily for free and loop each other into the conversation on the way that we're doing tonight, you know. And like, it's not costing any of us anything to do this. We're not renting studio space.
I think if we're going to continue to jump into Alan's soul, he's going to need a lot more therapy, which is an unintended cost.
I think actually the only thing that's costing us is our moral integrity, but that's about it.
I gave that up a long time ago.
All right. So another fine choice. What else can you tell us about 2014 coming up?
Well, in 2014, and I should preface this particular one by, and I guess probably should have prefaced the last one by saying my drink of the week this week is NyQuil, and I've also had my eyes dilated, so I'm sort of blind. So I'm sitting here not reading a script and kind of tripping balls. but with that in mind, I resolve to make at least one opposing third baseman laugh during the course of this year via heckle.
Nice.
Doesn't have to be during an actual game time. The ball doesn't have to be in play. But at some point over the course of this year, I will be close enough and heckle well enough that an opposing third baseman will laugh at me.
Okay.
Got any, have any candidates right now in your head?
Well, I think A-Rod doesn't have a soul, and I don't think he laughs anymore. So I think he's kind of out.
I don't think he plays third base anymore either. So
that's true. He may never play again. I don't have a particular target.
How about Josh Donaldson?
That works for me.
Why a third baseman?
Because I think he's going to be close enough to where I might be able to sit.
Okay.
Also, if it's the first baseman, it's possible that he'll be the size of a spaceship and will come over and flatten Allen instantly.
Not that I would stand up very well to any Major League Baseball third baseman either.
I think if you get enough NyQuil in you, anything could happen.
Well, that's true.
I tell you what, guys, as part of our resolution to you, we actually have tickets on occasion on the first baseline. So you'd actually have to change your resolution up a little bit, which are four rows back on the first baseline right behind Chris Davis. So if you guys ever want to come down and heckle a first baseman instead of a third baseman, we would love to have you down in the Baltimore area.
Alan can heckle all he wants. I would like to use that opportunity to tell Chris Davis that he is beautiful and perfect.
You know, we actually had an old lady do that before as well. She was sitting right behind us, and she kept on saying, "You have such a nice ass," to Chris Davis, and he finally threw her a ball. So,
and she was the oldest, tiniest lady you would ever see. It was a beautiful moment.
It was a beautiful moment.
I didn't think it was possible for me to love Chris Davis or the elderly any more than I already did.
At the same time.
We brought the elderly Chris Davis and balls all together in an intimate story.
All right.
Beautiful.
Move on to the next one, please.
Well, I have just one more, which is that... So as you can sort of tell at this point, most of mine are about watching baseball and podcasting about baseball, which is sort of a selfish way of approaching this. But that's pretty much all I feel like I have to look forward to this season as an Orioles fan. But one of the things that I would really love to do is anybody who's listened to our podcast knows that we spend an insane amount of time, I would say verging on a pathological amount of time, giving Fred Manfra and Jim Hunter a needlessly hard time for being terrible at broadcasting baseball games. So
good point, big boy.
What? Yeah. See, exactly. Well, you know what? That's the thing. Joe Angel is always calling Fred Manfra big boy. He's not big boy. He's a little stupid man, and I can't stand him. But what I would like...
We thought we'd throw our hats into the ring instead of just complaining all the time.
Yeah. I would like to commit Alan and I. I've co-opted Alan into this resolution. To at some point this season having an episode of Baltimore Uns where we do all the prep work ahead of time and then sit down and try to broadcast 9 innings of an Orioles game. God help us if it goes into extra innings.
Wow.
So, as though we were radio broadcasters.
So are you saying that you're just going to turn on the TV and just like, you know, put it on mute and broadcast the game that way?
Actually, we're going to even try to turn on the TV, put on the MLB feed, which is just the sound of the game, and then call the game as radio announcers.
Yeah.
Nice. I would listen to this.
Thank you. You say that now.
we'll talk at the top of the second.
If you make it that far.
We've exhausted our entire pool of stupid anecdotes.
Yeah.
We forget how to pronounce Royal Farms. It just all goes off the rails.
Yeah, if you thought Fred Manfra had small witty banter, just wait till you see the Baltimore Orioles or hear the Baltimore Orioles.
It's going to be grim.
Fifth inning is all King Lear, yeah. By the way. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
By the way, guys, good luck with that cease and desist notice from MLB when it comes over.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be ugly. It's
going
to be hideous.
Shall not be disseminated in any way.
That's right.
I prefer to take a liberal interpretation of that.
Actually, if you look really closely at any of those cease and desist orders, we're not even technically allowed to reminisce about a game.
Right. This was episode 74, I think, when you guys talked about copyright.
Yeah.
Don't you
By
think
the way,
I don't
our show is
you guys.
Occasionally about baseball.
So that scorecard that you guys are going to fill out, you pretty much have to burn it immediately afterwards because that's copyrighted material.
You know, I'm just going to congratulate you guys on this one because you have reached a level that I got to when I was 9 years old. Because when I was nine, my grandfather had this really fancy stereo with a microphone and a dual tape deck. Where I could record myself and the radio onto tape.
Oh.
And I used to talk to John Miller all the time.
Are there recordings of this, Jake English?
Not anymore.
You think that is a shame.
I, for one, think that's a national tragedy. Or at least a Baltimore tragedy.
No, the fact that it happened was a tragedy.
Yeah.
Actually, the fact that I just admitted to that on microphone was even worse. But,
but you know, I mean, just to say, the main reason that I would like us to go through this process is to get some vague semblance of what it's like to actually sit down and try to describe in words 9 innings of a game that the listeners ostensibly can't see, so that the next time we're trashing Jim Hunter for being a huckster, you know, we know of what we speak a little bit.
Okay, I'm going to move past the fact that one of you just used the word huckster and simply thank you so much for these amazing resolutions. It is a fine addition to our collection. I'd like to ask you real quick, what's coming up on Baltimoreans?
Good God, we have no idea.
Okay, well, listen to Baltimoreans. It's a fine program, sister wife program on the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
Well researched, very academic, you know, well prepared podcast. Yes.
Yeah. Wait, no, really, really, we have the next. Our next episode will be episode 76. We've actually got the next 76 episodes. Oh, 77. Excuse me.
Yeah.
We have the next 77 episodes. Not even planned. They're actually meticulously scripted. We just don't want to engage in any spoilers. Right, you understand?
Right. Yeah. You don't want us to make it. You don't want to make us feel bad. I hear it. Yeah.
Yeah.
But the May 12th game. Tune in for that one.
Okay. Wow. Well, gentlemen, thank you so very much for being a part of our show tonight. We really appreciate it, and we will, as always, continue to tune in to Baltimoreans.
And we'll be doing the same for Bird's Eye View. Thanks for having us.
Thanks, guys.
All right. See you. Bye. Okay, and we are now joined by 2/3 of the tremendous Orioles Spastics program. We have Chris Knightsey and Charlie Hoppus. And Charlie, thank God you've been all over the Baltimore Sports Report Network so that I could pronounce that properly. but thank you, gentlemen, so much for joining us.
Oh, you're welcome. I guess I've been around, too, if you were able to pronounce my name correctly as well.
I may be stalking you. That's neither here nor there.
Yeah, thanks for having us on. I have definitely been bouncing all over the Baltimore Sports Report Network because we haven't been doing any shows, which just suits us just fine, you know.
Okay. Well, gentlemen, we've asked you here to participate in making some New Year's resolutions here as in the early part of 2014 as Orioles fans. What can we as fans resolve to make it, you know, a better year as O's fans? And so I'd like for you guys just to take it away and tell us, to what are you resolving in 2014?
Charlie, go.
This is the part where one of you talks.
I was waiting for Chris to catch up to it. Chris, by the way, is on the moon.
No, I'm good.
Well, I would say that the first and foremost thing is this Orioles season, whether it's a rough one or whether it's a great one, I think it's always better enjoyed with a frosty beverage. Of course, you guys at Bird's Eye View always endorse that. We certainly do too. We love our Gin Palmers. So make sure that you drink plenty of Gin Palmers this next year.
I'm so pissed you guys thought of that first. That's an excellent resolution.
For those of you that don't know, it is an Arnold Palmer and just add gin. Lots and lots and lots of gin.
Isn't that what they do in the broadcast booth?
Yes. Yes. It's usually Jim Palmer drinking whatever he has and then Gary Thorne sort of dumping a little extra in.
All right. So Jim Palmer's resolution number one. What else do you have for us? Chris, are you still on the moon?
Is it? I didn't know Charlie. I thought Charlie had one more. Yeah, so I guess I didn't really get the proper memo or I didn't read the email correctly, so I was just making my own New Year's resolutions about sports in general. One of them was to never appear on another rival's podcast or any other podcast for that matter. I've already broken that one.
You're awesome at this.
Another one was to never record another podcast. So I'm not sure if I've broken that one yet, but we'll see. And the third is actually purchase a subscription to MLB TV instead of pirating all the other Orioles games I've been doing the last 4 or 5 years. So, you know, one that I can actually do, I think, is to purchase that MLB TV subscription and actually watch the Orioles games in a decent quality instead of crappy, pixelated, blurry version that I've been used to the last 4 or 5 years.
Now, can you actually do that and still get by? I thought they were going to black you out if you're in the Baltimore area.
Oh, yeah. Don't worry. I'm not in the Baltimore area. So
okay.
I don't get blacked out up here.
Okay. No blackouts on the moon, huh?
Well, like the Masson area apparently goes the Masson area apparently goes from like North Carolina all the way up into New York.
Yeah, it's here in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
Not the moon.
Yeah, it doesn't reach the moon. I will say I do have one more, and that it goes for even those of us in Harrisburg and the moon. Get out to Camden Yards more. There's not really any reason if you're in Baltimore not to go out and see an entertaining product. And even if we're going to be a bad team, which maybe we will be, who knows, but we're going to have a lot of fun players. You can't tell me that Manny Machado is not worth the price of admission. You can't tell me Chris Davis, Adam Jones, all these guys are worth the price of admission after the slog that we slogged through for the last forever.
Well, I'm certainly hoping that it's more entertaining than slog because we've definitely been sold a bad deal of goods for some crappy players in the past. But I'll co-sign that one. Go on out to Camden Yards. That's definitely the way to do it.
It's got to be better than the Redskins Stadium.
Ouch.
Ooh, man. It is man. No, it's fine. We Redskins fans hate the Redskins more than any of you all do. Yeah. I promise you that.
We're just learning from the best, okay?
I got to tell you, the amount of self-loathing that I've experienced as an Orioles fan, I can't even imagine if I was a Orioles and Skins fan. It's gotten to the point where on that level I definitely feel for you guys.
Oh, hey, I'm a Wizards fan. So it can get worse, just saying.
You know, I went to school in D.C., and I know that there are a lot of rules in the books about how high buildings can be because they don't want to ruin the sight lines for all of the landmarks. I think it may also be to keep all the sports fans safe because of jumping.
Good one.
It's been a rough, well, basically everything except for childhood. It's been pretty terrible.
I feel like we've gone to a dark place in this particular episode. Gentlemen, I'm so pleased that you've joined us. I really appreciate the input, the brave look forward to 2014. At this point, I'd just like to give you a moment to tell us what's going on with the Spastics. What can we expect from you next?
Well, as those that listened to our last episode may know, we are done with podcasting, right, Chris? We're done with podcasting. We did put out a supplemental internet radio show, and we may put out some more of those. We have at least one more coming up in spring training, and that's really it until baseball season. Once it's baseball season, we will put one out every week again, just like the good old days.
What can you tell us about van stories?
Well, I'm also glad you asked about that. If you would like to hear one of the best stories about a van that you will ever hear outside of Scooby-Doo, you can go over to our Vaniversary episode, which can be found on BaltimoreSportsReport.com/network and OrioleSpastics.com, and check it out. There's a good story of four fellas in a van that fateful day.
Sounds a little dirty.
Nope. It is everything, Scott, that your mind is taking it to.
Okay.
And more.
All right. I've seen many a porn start with there was four guys in a van, but
yikes. This is what I deal with every week.
Yeah. It's well, you know, that's the joy of not making podcasts anymore, is you don't have to deal with anything once a week.
Exactly. It's been great.
And
it's been relaxing.
And let me tell you, you guys are great at it.
Well, you know, we've done a little bit of bouncing around and showing up on other people's shows. We're glad to be glad to add Bird's Eye View to the list. Thanks for having us.
Well, thanks very much for showing up, and hopefully here's to a good 2014, and we all look forward to the return of the supplemental radio, internet radio broadcast that is the Oriole Spastics. Guys, thanks so much.
Me and Lee, I play together. Make love. Talk happy. No think about Philadelphia. It's no good.
Happy talk, keep talking, happy talk. Talk about things you like to do.
Toot, 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 toot. Oh, Scotty, I can't believe you're doing this.
If you don't have a dream, how you gonna have a dream come true?
Is this happy talk from South Pacific?
It is.
Nice. All right, let's get some happy talk on. Scott, I'm going to make a confession here. I've been very negative.
Well, apparently so has everybody else that we just talked to as well.
You may have noticed on the last several podcasts that I've been down on the team.
Just like everybody else has been.
So I feel like we should try to talk ourselves in at this point to feeling better about the Orioles. So there must be something good. All right.
There's a ton of positives out there. I mean, I understand that people are upset and judgmental about this offseason because we really were expecting big things after two winning seasons. But, well, nothing really has happened. So let's look at the positives.
All right. Do it in a way that doesn't delve into apologist land.
All right. Okay. Besides the aspect of we haven't really got anybody else and there's some holes, the Orioles do have several dependable options on the field. They got Adam Jones to a multi-year contract. They've got Manny Machado through 2020. They got JJ Hardy. They've got Chris Davis. They've got Matt Wieters. They've got Chris Tillman. They've got Wei-Yin Chen. They've got Tommy Hunter, Darren O'Day, Brian Mattis. And you know, they signed Ryan Webb. I mean, that was a good quality signing. So they've got a decent nucleus going on. Specifically, those top five players that I mentioned, Adam Jones, Machado, Hardy, Davis, and Wieters, those five players alone are all all-stars, in my opinion. The fact that you can have five all-stars on your team just signifies how good this team really is.
Yeah.
And Tillman's another all-star right there, too. So you have six all-stars.
I think we're so focused on what's wrong with the club, and rightfully so, but we may forget that, you know, for the first time in a long time, you can practically go around the field and say, wow, we've got a really dependable option right there. We've got a guy we can believe in that position. I think a lot of our disappointment is just that our expectations are so high now that we've had two winning seasons.
Right. Here, let me put in perspective, everybody. Ty Wigginton. Yep, that's all I need to say.
You mean all-star.
All-star. Ty Wigginton. All right, so number two. There are some young and exciting players in our system currently. You've got Kevin Gausman. You've got Dylan Bundy. You got Mike Wright. You got Eduardo Rodriguez. As long as we don't trade Eduardo Rodriguez for Ike Davis, which would be an absolute travesty, you've got a lot of promising players here. And I'm not saying that the farm system is really high in depth or anything like that. I'm just saying that it's not as bad as it's been in the past, Orioles fans. Not to mention, you've got Jonathan Scope waiting in the wings to be a potential second base starter. You know, maybe not in the first month or second month, but easily by June, you could see him coming up and replacing a struggling Ryan Flaherty who's hitting 190 at the time.
First of all, I can't imagine a struggling Ryan Flaherty. But I hate to admit it, you're right here too. We have been sold a false set of goods so many times when it comes to the Orioles minor league system. And at this point, I feel like the rest of the industry is saying, you know, the Orioles have a really nice crop of young rising stars in their minor league system. Maybe we're getting to the point where we can start to buy in.
Right. Okay. Here's the other thing is, this is not a bad team. This is not a team like in the past where you're looking and you're just like, that's a terrible team. They're going to lose 90 games. This is a team that's going to be competitive. You look back at the past 2 years when there has been a second wild card, and through the trading deadline, 20 of those teams, so two-thirds of Major League Baseball teams, have been in pursuit of that second wild card. There's no doubt in my mind that the Orioles are going to be right there and have the possibility to get that second wild card. It's all going to come down to how hot can they be in August and September. In 2012, the Orioles were red hot during this period, and they were able to get that second wild card spot. In 2013, not so much. It's easy for us to see that the Orioles could get red hot again in 2014 and be a competitive team and make that playoff push. It doesn't wouldn't surprise me at all.
I think part of me is glad that we're just not that threat to lose 100 games every season the way we had been for a while. And it was funny because during the Tremblay era, there were a couple of years in a row where the Orioles had literally one more loss than the last year. But, I mean, you're right in the fact that this is probably, at the very least, a 500 team, which is something that we begged for 15 years. And it's a team that won't be a laughingstock. And that sounds like such a defeatist attitude, but at the same time, you know, I've been bitching and complaining for weeks about it. I think it's important to point out, you know, this is not a bad team. This is a team that you're going to go and be at the ballpark, and every night you're going to have a chance to win, which just hadn't been the case for so long. And I think that's a positive.
And my final point I'd like to make is win, lose, or draw, it's going to be summertime at Camden Yards. We are about to go into one of the coldest days in the past 2 decades. It's going to be negative 20 degrees out there in terms of wind chill. And I'm just imagining being in the stands on a June or July day, 80 to 90 degrees, and having a shirtless carne cabeza right next to me, just enjoying the game side by side. I can't wait to just rip off my shirt and give him a giant man hug as we celebrate Orioles baseball together.
I gotta be honest, your baseball fantasies are a little different than mine.
Okay.
But you're mostly right in the fact that Camden Yards is the jewel of baseball. I mean, she's not the newest stadium anymore, but she might still be the hottest. There is nothing better than going to the ballpark at Camden Yards. And it's funny because I sometimes, in the down years, would think to myself, just imagine if you like lived in Oklahoma or something and you didn't even have a Major League Baseball team and you didn't have baseball so close. You should just be thankful for that. But now I think about, you know, look, what if you lived in another city and you had some other stadium that you had to go to where, you know, it wasn't quite as nice. And so I think that Camden Yards really should be something that we view as a positive and something that's good about the Orioles.
You know, speaking of good, Jake, I think it's that time. That's right, time, everybody. It's time for the good, the bad, and the ugly.
All right, the good and the bad and the ugly, it is. I like to go first here because Scott is much better at this, and I like to give him the last word. So, Scott, with your permission, I'm going to go ahead to my good.
Okay, go for it.
All right, my good for this week has to go to Tommy Hunter. Tommy Hunter tied the knot this week and shared his big news on Twitter, which picked up some press. Good for him. You know, that's nice to see. You always like to see nice guys like Hunter doing well. Only thing I'll say, caption underneath the picture, she's mine. Little creepy. But other than that, Tommy Hunter, good on you. You're my good for this week.
My good for the week actually is going to go to Mike Mussina, and it's going to be my consolation prize. Looking at his stats and reading through Zach Wild's post on Baltimore Sports Report, I'm fully convinced now that Mike Mussina is a Hall of Fame pitcher. I wasn't before, like Zach was, but after reading through the stats and looking at some of the sabermetrics, I'm fully convinced that Mike Mussina is as good as a Tom Glavine. I think it's just the aspect of Tom Glavine being in so many perennial playoff races with the Braves made me have a lot greater respect for him. Mike Mussina, you are a Hall of Famer. You are not going to be a Hall of Famer this year, but you're a Hall of Famer in my book. And I hope, and it won't happen, that you would go in as an Oriole, but you're going as a Yankee.
No, I think there are regulations about that now. When there's a certain amount of time that a player's been playing for
so
one
close, though. It's like 10 years versus 9 years.
All right, fair enough.
Yeah.
I think I'm too emotionally close. I'm going to recuse myself from the Mike Mussina discussion. I don't think I can give a dispassionate view of whether or not he's a Hall of Famer or not.
Okay.
My bad for this week is the weather. You mentioned it earlier, negative 20 degrees and the wind chill. This is not even, you know, suitable for human living conditions. The weather this week is bad. There's no excuse for it. And frankly, it's on notice.
Yeah. My bet's going to have to go to the Baltimore Ravens. A truly mediocre season. It really, for me, I think I got late into the football season, just like I have in the past with the Orioles season. But just the way to close it out with a blowout loss against New England and then just really never being in it against the Bengals. Just a poor, poor performance and just a terrible taste in your mouth. We talked about this earlier in the show. Yes, I may be spoiled, but man, it's nice to have playoff football in January. And I've been denied that right. So Baltimore Ravens, your running back coaches are on notice.
All right, here we go. I'm ready for my ugly. I'm going to have to do it again. Scott, my ugly for this week is Jake English.
You can do that a lot.
Yeah, I'm a self-loathing guy.
Yeah.
I have not watched a moment of bowl game activity this year. I have not seen a single college football bowl game this year, which is just terrible. There are a zillion of them at this point, and I just didn't make the time to sit down and watch any of them, which is a shame.
My ugly for the week is going to have to go to the city of Cincinnati and the Cincinnati Bengals. You are so ugly. Yes, yes, I realize that you're fighting mediocrity against the Cleveland Browns, but really, you haven't had a playoff win since 1991. Even the Browns have a playoff win in between there. Let me put it in perspective, and this stat's been going around. The Baltimore Ravens have 14 playoff wins during that period of time. Yes, that's 14 between the years of 1996 and now. That means for 5 years, the Ravens weren't even in existence, and they still have more wins than they do. The Orioles have more playoff wins than the Cincinnati Bengals. Tim Tebow has more playoff wins than the Cincinnati Bengals. And, you know, it's not the Bengals. It's the entire city of Cincinnati. The fact is, you weren't even able to go and sell out your game. You had to have your TV station come in and bail you out. There's no way that the city of Baltimore would let that happen. Even as hard of a time as we give to Philadelphia fans, as throwing snowballs at Santa and spitting at fans, they had a very easy time going and selling out their stadium. So, Cincinnati, look yourself in the mirror and ask yourself, do you really, really want a football team? Or would you rather keep on rooting for Ohio State? Oh, wait, that's not going so well for you either. And that's my ugly for the week.
And this is why you go last. Well done, sir.
All right, Jake, why don't we go ahead and blow the save?
That's one of the things I'm best at. All right, Scott, you tweeted an article, I think it was today. It was called The Incredible Vanishing TV Contract, or Why Rich People Hate Socialism, which was a really good read. And I read through it and talked about how the Phillies' $2.5 billion television contract really won't be $2.5 billion by the end of it. Thanks for sharing that with me.
Yeah.
That article is such crap.
Yeah, it is.
Because even if that team only gets $1.65 billion, that still helps make their club better.
Yeah, they're still getting the aspect of the shared revenue. It's not like the shared revenue just magically disappears. They're still getting that shared revenue. Look, the money is there for Masson. It's the aspect of you just have to be willing to spend it.
The way that the author of this particular article made it sound is like they weren't getting the biggest yacht. They were only getting the medium-sized yacht, which was ridiculous.
Yeah. And with that amount of ridiculousness, we're going to sign off for this week.
So Baltimore and beyond, I bid you a fond adieu, adieu.
Good night, Baltimore.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.